So I had forgotten that I was supposed to speak this morning, but the Holy Spirit didn't forget, because he woke me up pretty early and I was working on something. Several days ago, I was reading a book on by John Lake. And about 130 years ago, he had quite the healing ministry, and hundreds of thousands of people were being healed, people being raised from the dead, and he was writing this book, and what interests me is the things that he struggled with, and there's this in this chapter, and I'm getting the name of this. Oops, I'm on the wrong. But he got the name of this, and it was called a Creative Faith. And I thought, and I'd never heard of that before, and yet that's been around for 130 years, evidently. So the chapter that I read this in was called Spiritual Hunger. And that's kind of what I want to talk about, is that hunger for God. Sometimes we just can't wrap our arms around. We can't quite understand what it is within me, or what it is within us, that we've got this hunger and we don't understand what it's all about. And he struggles in explaining this, and I'm going to pass over some of the sentences where I could tell that he struggled with it. Even as he was writing, he was struggling. And then he goes off, friends, there is something in the call of the soul that is creative, and it brings things to pass. And I want to talk about that creative faith, and I've kind of struggled with how do you explain this? How do you explain a creative faith? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and everything that created was created by God's Word, and that Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's in first chapter of John. God designed us to be creative. My son was telling me, and I've met this friend of his, and the first I heard about this friend was a dilemma that he had. He was an entrepreneur. And this entrepreneur, he's a Christian, a believer, spirit-filled, and this entrepreneur had a dilemma on his hands. He had $1 million. They didn't know what to do with it. He didn't trust the stock market. He didn't trust the dollar, but he knew he had to do something with this $1 million. And long story short, one of the nicest houses I ever spent a lot of quality time in was a house that he bought. But there's a difference between the creativity of a spirit-filled entrepreneur and the creativity of a couch potato. And we've all known him in the past, and the one that keeps coming to my mind was a man that I worked with, and he had inherited a house from his mother, and he was making just as much money as that I made, and he gambled it all away, and one of my other coworkers went over to check up on him, and they said he was just sitting in this couch watching TV, waiting for his house to be repossessed to pay for all of his gambling debts. And there's such a huge, huge difference between that creative faith and that couch potato. And we all fall victim of that mentality of just accepting our life the way it is, and not being able to do anything about it just because we can't imagine our life being any different than it is. And the first sentence that got a hold of me says, friends, there is something in the call of the soul that is creative, and it brings things to pass. So God spoke the word, and that word brought the world into existence. He spoke the word. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke to a fig tree, and was mad because there wasn't any figs on that fig tree, and that fig tree withered up and died. God has done so much because of our words, and we got to be so careful of the things that we say. And a lot of times I think that our lives are a result of the things that we have said. And I've quoted this scripture, and I'm getting away from my notes, but death and life are in the power of the tongue. And that's in Proverbs, if you want to bring it up. It's not on my list there. But so many things that happen to our lives are the result of what we believe and what we say. And then he goes on with, and I'm talking about John Lake at this time, and he goes on with his own interpretation, but ends a section with a tongues and interpretation of tongues that is quite powerful. And he says, this is me speaking, I got to be careful here as I read my notes. And I've been trying to grasp it myself. There seems to be a lack of creativity in those who have little faith in God, the Father. And what I want to bring to you is our electronics, our cell phones, our computers, our TVs. And I know in my own life, I can honestly say that that I've allowed the electronics like my cell phone and these things to interfere with my life. The things that I see when I'm surfing the internet has replaced the creativity that God wants in my life. Now, you get on Facebook, I'm getting to where I really don't like Facebook anymore because it's all ads. And what are those advertisers trying to do? They want my desire to change. Those advertisers want me to desire the products that they're trying to sell. And that's what everything that we see, whether it's a television, whether it's the internet, whether it's Facebook, whatever it is that we allow to come into our lives, they're trying to change our desires. And that creative faith, that spiritual hunger, is what we need to be, is the things that we need to be desiring. And I don't know how John Lake knew anything about Facebook 130 years ago. But he talks about that creative faith deep down in our souls. And I'm quoting some of what he wrote. And there is that creative action of faith. You and God together working out and evidencing the power of that creative desire. And you shall receive the desire of your heart if you come before me in prayer and supplication. For I am a God that answers my children. And the first scripture that I want to go to is Romans 8, 6 to 8. Romans 8. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law and God, and neither indeed can be. So them that are in the flesh cannot please God. And going back to that couch potato that I used to work with, And he was one of the most laziest workers I ever worked with. But anyway, and I kind of see a relationship between that carnality of wanting to watch TV and, in my part, the internet and all the horrible things you can find on that internet. And so that's the works of my flesh, and that carnal mind is at war with God. And the things of God wants to bless me beyond my imagination. But the problem is I can't imagine it if I'm on the internet or on Facebook. What I can imagine is what those salesmen are trying to tell me, what the things of this world are trying to tell me. And I'm struggling to explain it, just like John Lake 130 years ago struggled. In James 4, 2, chapter 4, 2 through 8, you lust and you have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not, because you ask not. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore that would be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he gives more grace, wherefore he saith, God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. And earlier in that section, he accuses these people, ye adulterers and adulteresses, and I don't want to go in the Old Testament where he talks a lot, but he accuses the children of Israel of being unfaithful wives, of being adulterers, of cheating on their husbands. And that, in effect, is what we do when we pray, when we replace our love for God with the love of the world. And you can't do both. You can't love the world and love God at the same time. And I say that, you know, I'll point the fingers with you with three pointing back at me, because I'm so guilty of getting on the internet. I'm so guilty of fiddling with my cell phone. I'm no different than you folks. I'm guilty as charged. But what gets me with what John Lake was saying is that we can change our desires. We can pray to have our desires changed. And I'm going to go on to Isaiah 30. Chapter 30, verse 1, because it's next in my notes. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. And I'm guilty of getting my cell phone and finding out what the world has to say. I get on Google, I find out what Google has to say. Well, God's got better things for me than what Google has. God's got better things for me than what Facebook has. And I want to get us to the place where we replace our electronics with God the Father, and with a love for God the Father, and that we stop becoming rebellious children. I'm going to go back and quote what I saw in John Lake's writings from 130 years ago. I want to remind you just how old this stuff is. Go forth in the battle, for I shall be with you, and fulfill the desire of your heart. But what is that desire? What consumes our time? What motivates us? And the message continues, yea, pray that you may become hungry. Call and I shall answer your call. And John Lake kind of goes into that because it's a hunger for the things of God that, first of all, we have to get. We have to pray for that hunger, but then we have to see that hunger for God is satisfied. And that is what I meant when I said that we need to stop being so passive about our situations. And I have taught that off and on in the past, that we got to stop being passive in our Christianity. We've got to look at our situation, whatever, and be honest about what it is. Jesus came that we may have life and life more abundantly. Are we living that abundant life? Or are we just satisfied with our poverty? Are we satisfied with our sickness and disease? Are we satisfied with our aches and pains? Or do we want more? And that's what I'm trying to get across to you. And I know I'm kind of struggling, but the Holy Spirit wants so much more for us. But we've replaced with that Holy Spirit, in my case, with Facebook. Maybe it's other things that you find on the internet that you've replaced that Holy Spirit with. But we need to ask God the Father what is going on in the world. And I've been guilty of looking at the news. And one thing that the news wants, and they want it really bad, is they want you to be afraid. They want you to be very, very afraid. And it's that spirit of fear that I just reject. I just don't accept that fear. And I just go against that fear. But that's what the internet wants, and I'm guilty of looking at my favorite. And I think we've all got our favorite people on the internet that we like to follow, and I'm guilty of listening to that fear instead of figuring out what the Holy Spirit wants. Figure out what the Lord Jesus Christ has already said. Jesus said that He came that we may have life. And life more abundantly. And it's that abundant life that I desire for each one of us to have. But there's this spirit of fear in the news today. But God is the one who is in control. And praying for spiritual hunger isn't as crazy as it might seem. Because the Apostle Paul has told us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. And the very next verse, which is chapter 12, verse 31 in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, goes on to say, but covet earnestly the best gifts, but yet I show unto you a more excellent way. And that's chapter 13, which is the love chapter. And I won't go in. Maybe we should go into chapter 13. But I want you to look at that chapter 12, verse 31. But covet earnestly the best gifts. And that's what I want you to get is to look into your own life and figure out what it is that we really covet. And I've been so guilty in the past of coveting things that I should not have coveted, of desiring things that I should not have desired. But I I desire, and I want to desire even more spiritual gifts. What I always liked about 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter, that it's followed up with the next verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. But it says, follow after charity, which is love, follow after love, and desire spiritual gifts. And my question for you is the question I've got for myself, is what has happened to our desires? Have we become comfortable with just a little bit of faith? And John Lake, and I, over 100 years ago, was bothered by these same questions. What I like about John Lake, and Keith, I know you're listening, he desires and questions some of the same things that you've desired and questioned. And Keith went on to write the book, Where's That Victory? Where's the victory? We all should be living in victory. And my question is, where is it? What happened? And John Lake questioned that. And I don't have this here in my notes, but one of the things that John Lake did, he was, like I said, he had a ministry where hundreds of thousands of were being healed. He had a ministry where the dead were being raised from the dead and lived again. And he had such a wonderful time in that. He just wore himself out and had to step away, and he got away from the state of Washington for a while and kind of had to recover physically. And he went back, and the religious people had taken over. They had built a beautiful church, wonderful church, and the people were dead. Their faith was dead. And he couldn't do anything in that place. And he had done so much prior to that. So many people were getting saved. So many people were getting healed. So many wonderful miracles were taking place. And now he couldn't do anything with them. Because religion has a tendency to destroy our faith. It has a tendency to make us satisfied with just a little bit of faith. And then later on in this chapter, he's talking about that creative faith, about that spiritual hunger. And that's what I hope to bring to you, Matthew chapter 24, verse 12. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And Jesus is talking about the time that we're living in. We've got that cold love. We have such a difficulty loving each other and loving God with all our heart, all our soul, and all our minds. And it's because of that iniquity. And that word iniquity, and I want to remind you that it's always talking about something that we've become very familiar with because everybody does it. And we can look at our lives and say, well, everybody's like this. It must be okay. And I want to get us to the point where it's not okay. Our love for each other isn't enough love. Our love for God isn't enough love. We need to love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind. And to the point where our love for each other and our love for God will replace our love for the world. And in my own case, maybe it'll even replace Facebook. Maybe it'll replace whatever it is that you've fallen in love with. Instead of faith, we accept the fear provided by the news that we consume. And I gotta confess that I love the news that I consume because it's based on conservative ideals. Your news might be based on the other side of the aisle. It might be liberal ideals. But whatever it is, it needs to change to a love and a faith in God Almighty. It needs to be filled with that love, that that abundant love and life, abundant life, and we need to desire that. And I like, this is different than what I thought. Psalms 37, 1 through 9. And this could be written for today. This is going on today. Verse 1, fret not thyself because of evildoers. And boy, there's a lot of evil going on right now. Neither be thou envious of the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as a green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. And in that verse 3, trusting in the Lord and do good, I want to get us to the place where we really, really do trust that God is good. And a few of you may have heard me say more than a few times, at the end of the day, I am able to say, surely the Lord has been good to me, and his mercy has endured forever. And that's what I believe. I believe in the goodness of God every day, and I fully expect at the end of the day to be able to say that God is good. So trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. And because of the fear that we consume, we've got this idea that the world is falling apart and God's out of control. And I want to tell you that God has not lost control of this world. God is firmly in control, and we're going to live here. The scripture says that harvest and, you know, planting seeds and harvesting those seeds is going to happen till the end of the world. That's never going to stop. They picked the corn behind my house, and it's never going to stop. They're going to plant seeds next year. It's never going to stop. And we need to get it in our mind that we are to be here, live in this country, and not be afraid, because God is in control. There's a judgment going on, but the judgment is on the evildoers. It's not on us, because we're God's children. But I really like verse 4. So this is Psalms 37, verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And I want to talk about that delight, because there's a element in the church world that doesn't want you to delight in the world, in the Lord. They got all kinds of weird things. They say it's emotionalism. Some even commit blasphemy, as far as I'm concerned. They say it's of the devil. And I say, absolutely not. King David delighted in the Lord when that ark came back, and he just couldn't help himself. He had to dance. And the scripture goes on and kind of describes he had a wardrobe malfunction that, is their name Michael? I don't remember. Criticized King David for and accused him of being pagan, and she became barren. God was not at all happy with her criticisms of King David as he danced, and she never had any children. She was barren her entire life. And what I want to see is I want to see someone delight themselves in the Lord. I don't know what form it may take, but I want to see it. I want to see some delight in the Lord. And he goes on and says, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. But I want to ask you, what is it that you desire? Do you desire the cell phone? That might be all you get. But if you desire the Lord, if you change your desire to what God wants, life will change. Um, Yeah, rest, verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. And boy, do we see that. That deep state has done so much wickedness and evil, and it's almost like they can't be stopped. Look at all the times that they've tried to assassinate Trump. They assassinated Charlie Kirk, and it seems like these evil, wicked men are unstoppable, but they're not. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. And that's what the internet wants us to do. The internet wants me to be angry. The internet wants me to get angry and do something really stupid. And that's what they're trying to do. The other side is trying to goad us into doing something really stupid. They would love to have another January 6th. They would love to have us protest. They would love to throw us in jail for the stupid things that we do when we get angry. But I think we need to control ourselves. And we need to control ourselves and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For the evildoers will be cut off. Those that assassinated Charlie Kirk, they're going to be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. And I want to get us to the place where we're not afraid of what we see and what we hear. Because we know that we're going to inherit the earth. We know that it doesn't matter what happens. God is still in control. And I keep going, and I apologize for keep going back to these things because we're all so guilty. The problem with our electronic devices is that we delight in what the world has to offer. Our delight needs to be in the Lord, but if our delight is in the world, if that world has replaced our delight of the Lord, then it's no wonder that our prayers go answered. Because God is not going to share his glory with the world. We are in a time of judgment. Things are not going to continue the way they have been. Delight in the Lord. And I don't know what it is that I missed, but I wanted to go, and this isn't on my notes or in the scripture. I wanted to go back to Psalms chapter 103, and I've quoted this many times, and I don't think I can get enough of it, but I want to go through it. Psalms 103, verse 1. In face of what John Lake was saying over 100 years ago, the Psalm of David. And we can't imagine this. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Now go back and read that. And if you're an English major, break out that sentence exactly the way it's written. It says, it's a Psalm of David. Bless the Lord. Well, who said that? King David. King David said that. King David was a king. He understood authority. So King David says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Well, who is David talking to? King David is talking to his soul, and as a king, King David has taken authority over his soul. And he's commanding his soul, bless his holy name. And there in verse 1, it goes even a little bit further. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. And my question for you, what's in you? Is it anger? Is it doubt? Is it fear? What is it? Are you mad, or are you about ready to kill somebody? What is it that's within you? And King David says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me." Are you lacking faith? Speak to it. Because I don't know that I covered it or not, but John Lake has a lot to say about that in his book. Speak to that. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. If you lack faith, speak to it. If you need that creative faith, speak to it. And verse 2, and it sounds like, well, he's repeating himself. Why is he doing that? "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Well, who's King David talking to? He's talking to his soul. And what is he commanding his soul to do? And he's commanding his soul not to forget all of his benefits. Whose benefits? The benefits of God. So you bless the Lord by remembering the benefits of God. And that's why it's so important to read the scriptures, live the scriptures, believe the scriptures, and do what the scriptures are telling you to do. And one of those benefits is there in verse 3, Psalms 103, verse 3, "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, and he heals all of your diseases." And that's real interesting to me, because that word iniquity, and I've explained this in the past, the iniquity is something that we've become really comfortable with. A sin is different, and if you commit a sin, you want to make sure you don't get caught. Iniquity, you're not worried about getting caught because everybody else is doing iniquity right there along with you. But that iniquity needs to be forgiven. And when your iniquities are forgiven on the cross of Jesus Christ, Jesus will heal all of those diseases. And how did Jesus heal those diseases? And you go back to Isaiah chapter 53, and he says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity, and by his stripes on his back we are healed. And we've got that healing. We've got that healing available to us 2,000 years ago when the Lord Jesus Christ paid the ultimate price for our sins. And if we ever get to that place where we believe the gospel, we believe that Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. I like that verse in, I think it's Proverbs, that says, "The way of the transgressor is hard." And I've learned down in my life, if my life is hard, I need to go back and figure out where I transgressed at. Because where my transgression is, that's where I need to repent. Now Jesus was wounded for our transgressions, but that doesn't mean I don't need to do a little bit of repentance now and then. And sometimes you got to go back to that transgression and figure out what it is you need to repent of. Because of the way the transgressor is hard, but the good news is he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. And by his stripes we are healed. But we need to believe that. We need to believe that. And verse 4, Psalms 103, verse 4, "Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies." And boy, that loving kindness and those tender mercies, that's what I need. I got to confess that I just don't have that compassion I should have. That tender mercy is not always working in my life. And verse 5, "Who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. And I've spent time on that a few times, because this is the second time in the Bible that the possibility of having the youth, the life of youth, being poured out to you can be a reality. And that's what I'm believing in my life, that my youth will be renewed like the eagles. And I've confessed that. I've spoken that into my own life when I'm riding my bike. I'm riding my bike, and I'm quoting that scripture that my heart, my lungs, my veins, my arteries will become young like it was in Adam when God created Adam. I want to be healthier than I was when I was young, because my wife tells me I was pretty sick when I was a baby. I wasn't very healthy when I was born. I want health and vitality that's even better than it was when I was born. And we have that ability in Scripture to be creative, to have that creative faith. And what I want to instill in you is the creative faith to believe the impossible. In this aspect, in my life, it's becoming healthier than it was when I was young. And whatever that situation is in your life, you may think it's impossible, it's hopeless. And I want you to have that creative faith to believe in the impossible. That scripture, if you can find it, all things are possible to them that believe. If you've never read that before, I recommend you go to Tasty Tacos and enjoy a great taco there, because that's right under the name of their restaurant is Tasty Tacos. And if you can speak Spanish, say it in Spanish, but it says nothing is impossible. And here is a family from Mexico, and I think it's back in 1961, they believed the impossible, and they started a restaurant, and they made tacos, and to this day, it's in their restaurant. Nothing is impossible, and that's what I want to instill in you, that creative idea that nothing is impossible. I don't know what your situation is, but nothing is impossible if you believe. And get away with some of these ideas, and the worst of the ideas come right here from your cell phone. I happen to be looking at the Bible on my cell phone, and I recommend that each one of you have the Bible on your cell phone. I got rid of Facebook on my cell phone long ago. I was getting to where I didn't like it, and I didn't want it on my cell phone, so I took that app off of my cell phone. I got to stop being a hypocrite and confess that I got it here on my computer, and that can be just about as bad. but anyway, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to dare to have that creative faith. When you look at your life and you think my situation is impossible, nothing is impossible. And I might have to get my glasses on to read that. If someone wants to read that, go ahead. Yeah. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, and I'm going to change that with the internet, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And when we get it into our spirit, we get it into our soul. And I know that, I know by reading John Lake, he was struggling to get this across. I'm going to share one example. I think it's in the same chapter there. He got to the place where he quit praying for people. He had prayed for so many people to be healed, so many people to be raised from the dead, and they were healed, and they were raised from the dead. But he stopped praying for people that were religious because they had gotten to the place where their religion has made them where they can't grow up. They were stuck in their spiritual growth and they weren't going to grow up. And he told in these two instances, I'm kind of paraphrasing, he told these two religious people, I'm not going to pray for you. It's time for you to grow up. And most of us are pretty old and we've been saved and spirit-filled for a long time. I got to confess to you that I need to grow up. I need to stop believing some of the things that I believe, and I need to start believing that nothing is impossible, that all things are possible. And with that I'm going to just leave it in. I'm going to leave it open for him. If you got any questions, I'm going to turn the mic off unless you want to. But I'm going to just take questions. There's something you don't understand. Any scriptures you need clarification on, but I want to get this to the place where we all believe and we all love each other and we all love God with all our heart, all our souls, and all our mind, and whatever that is you need in your life, I want those needs to be met today. So with that, I'm done.
Does anybody have any questions?
Talked about iniquity a lot in Psalms 103, I think. Talks about iniquity. What's iniquity mean?
Man.
Lawlessness and lawbreaking is iniquity.
Yep. Something against God.
And for some of you that are new, I just love this about Keith. He took 1 Corinthians chapter 14 seriously. That these words of wisdom, prophecy, songs, it comes from the people. And that's what he was striving to do. He wanted us to be led by the Holy Spirit. And that's why we're passing around the microphone now, because Keith believed that the church, that we are the church. It's not this building. Matter of fact, he got so angry one time, and I just loved this about him. He got angry and just locked the door in the church. We weren't allowed to go to church anymore because it was supposed to be in the fellowships. It was supposed to be, we are the church. And when you walk through the door of the church, something strange happens. I haven't quite put my finger on it. But it's almost like we stop believing. But John Lake kind of describes that, the struggles that he had with spirit-filled believers when they became religious. It was like they just didn't have any faith anymore. Anyway,
I agree with what you just said about there is something when you come through the doors, and we realize that there is something spiritually happening here, but yet there's a buffer, something buffering it. I think it was discussed a few weeks ago with my mind. I don't remember what that word was. If someone here remembers, speak it out, but there is a buffering spirit that's trying to keep us, this family, from growing and, you know, becoming more intimate with each other, loving each other in a way that we've never loved them before.
Amen.
This is what is expected of us. This is what Apostle Keith expects of us if you come into this building. But does anybody have an answer for the buffering spirit? Because we've been praying about it, and I thought we had it at one time. Do you remember? Who? Sarah says contention.
I know a lot that's been going on, and my dad's been hearing a lot that's been going on, Apostle Keith. It's almost like so much religion is still here that we haven't been able to break free. Where, you know, when he, I don't really want to take, I know what he's going to talk about on some of it, but it's almost to the point where, in my opinion, nobody else's, just the way I'm feeling that the Holy Spirit is leading me, that we have not grown up. We are still in the wilderness. It is time to move on. Let the old go.
Hallelujah.
Start with the new. The new is the New Testament. We should be reading Matthew through Revelations. Mm-hmm. Not saying the Old Testament is bad. But when you linger on the Old Testament, you're still in the law. Do you want to be free or do you want to be in chains? The law is chains. Freedom is the New Testament. Freedom is what God did for us, or Jesus did for us. He died on the cross. If we can't stay in the New Testament and do what he wants us to do, mm-hmm. then we're staying on the, under that old law. And that's a lot what Apostle Keith has been saying. That law is still there, yes. But it says there's two great commandments. Love the Lord with all thy God, with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy mind. And the second greatest one is love thy neighbor as ourselves. If you can't love yourself, you can't love your neighbor. You have to love yourself first. That is the greatest commandment in there. If you do those two where you can love yourself and love your neighbor, the 10 come right under it. You don't have to worry about killing people. You don't have to worry about murder, however it's put in the Bible you read. You don't have to worry about, you know, wanting to go over with your neighbor's wife or husband. Because as long as you love yourself, everything comes into play. And it won't be just your love. It'll be God's love, because God sees you as a child, not as somebody else. He created you on purpose, for purpose, and with a purpose. Stephanie, Apostle Stephanie gave us that. You were born on purpose, for purpose, and with a purpose. Find out what that purpose is. Amen. Because that's what God created you for. And he created for you in this time. Hallelujah. If he wanted you earlier, he would have put you earlier. If he wanted you later, he would have put you later. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows what's going to happen. He knows what you're going to do in 10 minutes. He knows what you did 20 minutes ago. Daniel Martin came here. He actually had a tendency that where, you know, his flesh got a hold of him and he was doing something he shouldn't have been. And this has always got him. He said, he's trying to finish what he's doing and he looks over and there's God. Yes. Come on, hello. Right here in his face going, no, finish. How could you, you know, could you honestly do that with God just sitting right next to you? He told him to finish and he finished. But see, that's the problem. We're living in ourselves. And that's what Daniel had to learn. And so he started to love himself, and now he's going out to other churches, other places, telling that him his story. His story, your story is your testimony. God's already given you the blood and covered you. Now go out and share your testimony.
Hallelujah.
That's when we, in Revelations, we... Now I just drew a blank. With the word and the testimony. Overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. That's what we got to do. That is what is here. That is the buffering spirit. Just religion, and we understand it is not easy. It has taken me 44 years to get where I'm at. So if it takes you 75 years, it's understandable. God still is there for us. He's never going to leave us. Just because you screw up, he's never going to leave you. Like Apostle Keith talks about, the water bottle lid running down the thing, and all the people, and he's in Mexico, and everybody's just praising and worshiping, and they didn't even notice that water bottle lid going down the aisle. He felt like, well, that's not right. But he goes, I know my God still loves me. Doesn't matter how much you mess up, he will never stop loving you.
Yep.
Even if you left him. I've left him. I left him a long time ago. But he brought me back, and I'm stronger than I've ever been. Yes, Satan comes after me. He tried coming after me this morning, and now I know why. Because God wanted me here because he knew this question was going to come up. I don't know. I just want to be his vessel. You know, and yes, I do get in the world. Everybody does. We all have flesh. The flesh is really hard to kill people, and I will admit that. I'm the first one to know. But I just want to tell you today that God is telling you he loves you more than anything on this earth.
Amen.
He wants you to be his children. He gives you a will, so you can do whatever you want. He's not going to tell you what you're doing is right, wrong, or indifferent unless you ask. You have to ask. Be humble enough to say, Lord, what am I doing wrong? Lord, where do I need to change? Lord, what do you want me to do? When I wake up in the morning, I say, okay, Lord, do with me what you want. Do with me what you will. I'm your vessel. I will talk for you. I will speak for you. I don't get out and mingle around a lot of people like I used to as I'm helping my parents. But, you know, I'm still his vessel. I mean, even if you have his love, you will shine the light and people will see a difference in you. But I'm sorry, I didn't mean to go into a sermon. It's just like, whew, okay, I'm really hot back here. But God is saying, don't forget, I love you, my dear children. He loves you more than anything in this world.
Praise the name of the Lord. Yes, I just want you to help me clarify something. My kids, I want them to hear. Are you saying social media is bad? Because I heard you talking about Facebook all the time and social media. I just want to know, because I know that there are preachers that preaches through social media. My kids, I want them to hear this.
Are you going to answer that? You want me to answer that? He is asking if Facebook or social media is bad. Can I answer that? He was asking if social media is bad.
Jesus set the standard when he says, if you've got something against somebody, you go talk to them face-to-face, one-on-one, privately. That's the standard. And the problem I have with social media is because it's so anonymous that we don't have that face-to-face confrontation. So we feel like we're free to slander. We feel like we're free to gossip. It's almost like we think that these sins are no longer going to be held against us, that we can slander, gossip, criticize because we're anonymous. And that's the problem I have with social media. Even among Christians, there's that you need to be face-to-face with people. And social media denies that.
I think that there are place for God in social media. I do believe that. I personally don't have Facebook because I knew it'd probably lead me. I'd probably spend too much time on it. That's personal. But I do believe, because like I've known people that God's miracles, watching God's miracles work through people. There was a little baby that they said he was brain dead and that he would never be able to function. And they kept posting all of his improvements until the point where he got to go home. Even they said that he probably would die and he was alive. So there are times, but it's also a slippery slope. There is a point where you can get into it too much. And you don't realize it, and you lose yourself in it. So there is good points to it, and God, and we can use that. I mean, in the kingdom of heaven, we can use that.
Yes, Karen spoke that. The word that I got, Karen, is we need to be disciplined. We can have it, the Facebook. I have it, but I'm disciplined with it. I don't sit there for hours and hours. And playing games, these are all personal things, but we don't play the games on the phone that we have. It's a brand new phone, and some of the things I don't even care to know what it does, because it's such a mini computer. Who would ever thought something this thin and this small is a computer? You can do anything. I mean, just about anything on that thing. But I'm so disciplined. I go to Sarah. Sarah, would you please find this, or would you do that for me? And she does, because I don't want to know how to do it. But discipline in anything we do is the word.
Well, Facebook is a part of modern life. Social media is. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. What we're finding out here is there are forces of this world, the globalists, who want to put us under its structure of belief, structure of what is acceptable, political correctness. And, you know, we have to be on top of ourselves. You know, are we conforming to this world, or are we conforming to the Word of God? And social media advertising is very much designed to make us compliant unto the ways of this world and shape our attitudes, beliefs, and our behaviors according to the God of this world. So that's the hazard of social media. That's my take on it, at least. Here you go.
I am totally going to change the subject for 1 second, because God wanted me to share this. I know most of you know this. Before we come to church, or actually before we enter this building, leave our, I call it, junk or stuff outside of the church. And to me, that is very important, because I know sometimes I come in and I'm just like, not with it. But then it affects our, or at least my worship with God. It's like, oh. So that's something that I believe that we need to do, is just leave it, whatever is going on outside of the family. And if, like, let's say after church, might want to maybe, you know, talk to somebody about it. Keyword is after church. Or give them a phone call and say, hey, I need someone to talk to about whatever is going on. And I think that's really, really important, because I know that it's affected my worship before. And the other thing is come expecting. And sometimes I have to admit, I don't come expecting. And that also affects my worship, but with God. But when I do come in expecting, it's like I see the difference between worship when I come expecting, or when I'm not, you know, or when I don't come expecting. And there's a big difference. I don't know how to explain it, but God knows. So come expecting every Sunday, even Wednesday, or whenever God wants to speak to us, just come expecting to hear from God and maybe receive some revelations or answers from Him, whatever it may be. And thank you, Lord, for the word.
I don't know if it's too late for this. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And that would exclude a lot of what's on the cell phone. I've, in case you're wondering, I've got the Bible on my cell phone, and I can search and copy and paste and just about as fast as someone can talk. I don't know if that's good or is that bad. I don't know. But I know our mind, the biggest problem we've got is our thoughts. And you got to question, well, what's influencing your thought? And I'll just leave it at that, because I've finished preaching once already. So.
Well, I want to say that this message today was totally the Holy Spirit. It was because you actually gave me a different paper that said something totally different. You left it on the desk, and I'm assuming that was what it was. So I know it was from God, and I know that it's a good message. It's a really good message that we need to examine ourselves all the time. We do. We need to come. We need to examine ourselves against the Bible, the Word, to know how we're off, because it is easy to get off. Like you said, with the phone or with TV or with whatever it is, it's easy to get off. It can be with some people, it could be a lawn. Seriously, it can be. I've known people that they cared more about their lawn than anything else. But we need to just really, what you said today was just so perfect. And I took so many notes because it's like, it hit my heart. It hit my heart that there are things like I need to improve on, and you gave us answers to that, how to improve on that too. So I know that it was totally of God, and I just thank you, Holy Spirit, for coming in today and speaking. And I thank you, Father, for Steve, for stepping up and speaking, even though he almost forgot. And I just want to bless everybody today as we leave. We just, that the word of God that was spoken today will just sink in and the enemy not steal it. And I just want to bless everyone in the name of Jesus. Have a great day.